You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
I am so excited to be kicking off a new series for the month of November called Grateful. And I just want to encourage you to be here for the next few weeks on Sundays in November. Bring somebody with you because we're going to be talking about something we all need more of in our lives, and that is gratitude. I'm telling you, if there's something we need to make space for in our busy, crazy lives, it is gratitude. So I want to encourage you to come on Sunday mornings. Just come with an open heart, come with an open mind, and just lean into this series because I believe God is going to do something great in our lives as we talk about cultivating gratitude for the next few weeks. Well, I think there's one thing that we all have in common this morning. Whoever you are, whatever your background is, whether you are a regular at Redemption, whether you're a first-time guest, whether you consider yourself to be a follower of Christ or you're not quite sure, you know, what you believe, or this is your first time in church in a long time, one thing we all have in common is that we all want to have a great life, don't we? I mean, we all want to live lives that are meaningful, to have purpose, to feel fulfilled. We all want financial success. We all want to love and be loved. I mean, anybody in here, you want to have a bad life? Anybody here, you want to have a really sucky life? Anybody? Okay, because you're in the wrong place if that's you. We all want to have a great life, don't we? And I think we tend to think of a great life as a destination. Like, things in my life will be great when I finish grad school. Things will be great when I pay off my student loans. Come on, anybody paying off some student loans? You can say amen to that. Like, life will be great when I find the perfect match for me on eHarmony.com. Life will be great when I get that job promotion or that position that I've always wanted, or when I can finally retire. I think we tend to think of a great life as a destination. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever had a destination in mind, like somewhere you wanted to go and it turned out to be something different than you had hoped for? Like, it was less than your expectations? I mean, maybe there was a restaurant you were really excited about checking out and you got there and the food just wasn't so great, or it was pricey and you were disappointed. Or maybe you booked a vacation at a resort and it looked really amazing online and you got there and the rooms weren't that nice and the service wasn't that great and you were just disappointed and you're like, I'm never going back to that place. Have you had that experience? Or maybe there was a famous site, like, you know, somewhere you've always wanted to see your whole life. And when you got there, like, you were just underwhelmed. It wasn't as big as you thought it would be. It wasn't that grand. And you were kind of disappointed. Have you had that experience before? Just this past week, Amy and I, when we were in Florida, we went down to Miami one day, and it was a rainy day, but it was the only day we really had time to go down to Miami. And we actually stopped at this mall on the way down to Miami Beach just to let the weather pass through because it was raining. And so we just kind of pulled off randomly at this mall. And we're like, we'll go walk around for a little bit while it's raining and just let it clear out. So we pulled in. This mall looked like a really, you know, nice place to just walk around. We really weren't that interested in shopping, just wanted to kill some time. And so as we're walking into the mall, the first couple we see is wearing matching American flag suits. I mean, from head to toe, stars and stripes. And we laughed like they looked ridiculous. We're like, seriously, we thought they were like some goofy tourists or something. I started to take out my phone and take a picture of them, and Amy's like slapping me. She's like, don't be rude. But we're laughing because honestly, they look so stupid, really. I mean, head to toe, American flag like stripes. But then we realized these suits were tailored, like slim fit, like fashionable. Like, they were serious about these American flag suits. They were rocking these suits. And so we started walking around this mall, and we quickly realized this was super high-end. Everything was like Gucci, Armani, like stuff we could never afford. But it's all good, right? Like, we're there just to walk around, just to burn some time. I'm not intimidated by people with money. I live in Westchester, hello. So I'm like, let's walk around. So anyway, we went into this one Saks Fifth Avenue because I had to use the bathroom, and I'm telling you guys, it was the weirdest experience I've ever had. Every 5 feet, there was like five sales associates just like watching you. Like, I felt like I was being spied on. We stopped at this one table that had some shoes sitting out, and there was these ridiculous Gucci shoes with spikes coming out of them. We flipped it over. They were $1,600. I'm like, this is the stupidest pair of shoes I've ever seen in my life. But the sales associate was like right there just waiting to pounce on us, just hoping we were interested. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I mean, some of you, I know this is New York. You might love fashion. You might spend $1,600 on shoes. I'll pray for you. But anyway, so I went to the bathroom, and I came out, and I'm telling you guys, I felt like I was being spied on. It was weird. People were just, like, watching us, like, looking at you, and I was like, let's get out of here. Let's leave this Saks Fifth Avenue. We went and got a cup of coffee. We're sitting around, and as I'm watching people kind of come, you know, just kind of people watching, I'm telling you, I never seen so many people with so much plastic surgery in my life. There was more plastic in that coffee shop than a Tupperware party. It was amazing. I mean, there was, like, two or three women who walked by, like, they couldn't smile. Their face was just stuck. And then it began to dawn on me, like, oh my gosh, this is that mall. This is that mall for like people who are into super high-end, ridiculous $1,600 shoes with spikes in them. They have plastic surgery. Like, this is not my scene. I'm watching people, and they're looking at what everybody's wearing, and I just wanted to mess with somebody. I was like, Amy, I'm going to go up to somebody and say, hey, where's Old Navy or Gap? Can you help me? And so it just wasn't like it wasn't our scene. So we left. But you know what I mean? Sometimes you have a destination in mind, and it turns out to be different than what you had expected. And maybe on a more serious note this morning, maybe you've arrived at a place in life and you kind of have this feeling like, I never thought I would be here. Or I thought things would be really different at this stage in life than they are right now. Like, I thought I'd have more money saved at this point in my life. I thought I'd be at a different place in my career at this stage in life. I thought I'd be happier in my marriage. Some of you can resonate with that. And sometimes it feels really hard to be fulfilled, to be satisfied, to truly say, I have a great life. Let me think about this for just a moment. I want you to have a really honest moment with yourself this morning. Are you happy? Are you truly satisfied right now in this season of your life with things exactly as they are? If nothing changed, are you truly happy in life? Or does a great life seem like a destination? Does it seem like something that's far away? You know, a great life can seem like it's elusive at times, but at the same time, we've all known people who have been through really difficult times, who have faced some big-time challenges, who have been through tragedy, and yet they were fulfilled. I mean, they were satisfied. They were happy. I mean, I think about people like my wife's grandparents and who came over from the Ukraine during World War II, who lost everything and came to America with nothing, and yet they built a life for themselves, and they were just satisfied. They were just happy people. We know people like that. And so the question is, like, what is the secret? Wouldn't you like to know the secret? Like, what is the secret to live that way, to have a great life no matter what the circumstances are? Well, I don't pretend to have, like, the silver bullet, the magical answer this morning, but I think there's some biblical wisdom. I think there's a secret I want to share with you this morning. And here's the idea. Having a great life is not about arriving at a destination. It's about who you're becoming on the journey. It's about who you're becoming. We think of a great life as a destination. If I could just get to this place, if I could just have this kind of job, if I could just have this kind of relationship, whatever, we tend to think of it as a destination, but it's really more about the person you are becoming on the journey. It's about the condition of your heart. It's about your perspective. You see, grateful is something you become. It's not a destination that you arrive at. Now, for you English majors, yes, we misspelled the word on purpose. Because we want you to connect the idea of a great life with this attribute of gratitude. Because the level of gratitude that you're able to determine to develop in your life will determine how great your life is. Because it's really about your perspective. It's about the condition of your heart. It's about your outlook. Let me give you a quote that I think will help you out. I heard Pastor Phil Munsey say this one time. He said, your heart is your lens by which you receive and perceive. You don't always get in life what you want. You get what you are. Isn't that powerful? Think about that. How many of you have discovered that you don't always get in life what you want? How many of you have discovered that life sometimes turns out different than you thought it would look like? Life sometimes throws a curveball at you. You don't always get what you want. Some of you are hoping to watch the Yankees in the World Series. It didn't happen. You're disappointed. That's life, isn't it? But you always get who you are in the process. And so when you begin to understand this truth, you begin to realize how important it is to cultivate gratitude in your life. And that's what this series is about for the next few weeks from now leading up to Thanksgiving. We want to encourage you to cultivate this attribute, this characteristic of gratitude in your life. Did you know that research has actually proven and demonstrated that there is a psychological benefits to gratitude? I recently read an article in Psychology Today from psychotherapist and author Dr. Amy Morin entitled The 7 Scientifically Proven Benefits of Gratitude. Listen to some of these. Research has demonstrated these. Gratitude opens the door to more relationships. Gratitude improves physical health. Gratitude improves psychological health. Who could use some more psychological health in here? some mental health. Gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Oh, come on. We need some more gratitude in New York City, don't we? Got some aggressive people. Grateful people sleep better. Who could just use some more sleep in this place? Few of you are like, amen to that. Gratitude improves self-esteem. Gratitude increases mental strength. See, gratitude is a gateway attribute. It's a gateway attribute because it unlocks so many other attributes that we need in our lives. Gratitude will unlock humility. Gratitude will unlock generosity and joy and contentment. Gratitude is it's a catalyst. Gratitude is like a lever. If you can develop gratitude in your life, you can leverage a whole lot of other gifts and attributes that you'd like to develop in your life. And so gratitude is vital. So let me ask you this question this morning. How many of you would like to experience more gratitude in your life and less complaining and less anxiety and less bitterness and less envy? Come on, how many of you would just like to have better sleep if nothing else? You're like, yeah, the better sleep part sounds really good. All right, five of you. The rest of you, I'm praying for you. Well, in order to become grateful people, we need this shift in perspective that we talked about a moment ago. And speaking of perspective, for the purposes of this series, let's define gratitude this way. Gratitude is the perception of the good in life. I want you to put that in your notes this morning. For the purposes of this series, okay? Gratitude has other definitions, other connotations, but gratitude, it's the perception of the good, of what's good in our lives. And today, I want to talk to you about Christian gratitude, the Christian perspective of gratitude, not just any kind of gratitude, but Jesus-shaped gratitude, okay? This isn't going to be a series about just psychology and positive thinking. You know, we want to talk about the gift of gratitude in our lives because this is a gift that God wants to give to his people. And throughout the ages, there's some ancient wisdom here. The people of God have understood the gift of gratitude. And we really want to unlock it, we want to discover it, and we want to cultivate it in our lives. This is a work that God wants to do in your heart, in your soul. See, you can't manufacture gratitude by sheer willpower. How many of you have found that to be true? You can't manufacture it by sheer willpower, even though a lot of times people try. Gratitude, it's a byproduct. It's a byproduct of a way of seeing things. It's the byproduct of a certain worldview. And it always involves three factors. We're going to lay down just some foundational stuff today in this first week of this message. And we're going to look at three foundational factors for cultivating gratitude, for practicing gratitude in our lives. And these three words, these three phrases we're going to look at, these come from the Latin word bene, B-E-N-E, which means good. So all three of these words have this same prefix in them. So three factors of gratitude. I want to invite you to take some notes. When you came in today, you should have received some note sheets. So take those out and jot some notes down this morning. Here's the first one. Gratitude involves benefit. Everybody say benefit. Gratitude involves benefit. See, in order to be grateful, I have to receive a gift. I have to be in the position to receive blessings in my life as a gift. I must perceive them as a good thing, okay? For me to receive, I must see God's blessings and the things he wants to give me as a good thing. How many of you like to receive gifts? Anybody? Come on, how many of you like receiving gifts is really one of your love languages? You ever read that book, The Five Love Languages, famous book by Dr. Gary Chapman? And he actually talks about, for some people, like receiving gifts is actually one of the ways they receive love. Come on, some of y'all are like, if you love me, show me the money, take me shopping, hello. That's not necessarily one of my gifts, but for some of you, that's like one of your love languages. But how many of you have ever known somebody who was really bad at receiving gifts? Like that person, you buy them a gift and they just don't know how to receive it. Like they just don't like the spotlight, the attention being on themselves. Or maybe they don't feel like they're worthy of a gift. Or maybe they have the opposite problem. Like they're just too prideful to receive gifts from other people. They just don't know how to process it. And the point is, if we're gonna be people of gratitude, we have to be good receivers. We have to be good receivers of the blessings that God wants to give us. There are benefits to serving God. Look at what the psalmist said. Psalm chapter 103, verses 2-5. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things. Look at that scripture. The psalmist reminds us there are benefits to serving God. Our lives are filled with benefits from God. And the truth is we're blind to them most of the time. Most of the time in life, we kind of go through life taking them for granted. But if we're going to be people who are going to develop gratitude, if we're going to become grateful people, if we're going to have great lives, we need this perception shift in our hearts. And we need to be able to see God's gifts. We have to open our eyes to them. And can I just tell you a little side note for a moment here? Most of the things that we actually complain about in life are actually God's blessings, if you think about it. You complain about your spouse, your family, your job, your car. Come on, some of you, when you found your spouse, you were so happy. You were like walking on cloud nine. You were like Stevie Wonder. You are the sunshine of my life. Yeah, you were just happy. That's why I'll always be around. Don't make me do my Stevie Wonder. And you were just in love. And now you're like, you don't even take out the garbage. You don't do your share of the laundry. You leave hair in the sink. You spend too much money, blah, 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 whatever. Right? You're singing a different song now. Some of you, your job, you were so excited when you got your job. You were sharing it on social media. Everybody was high-fiving you. You were so excited to begin this new. Now you're like, I hate this job. I hate this commute. I hate these people. They don't pay me enough, blah, blah, blah. I hate this car, right? It's a lot better than walking, isn't it? So most of the things that we complain about are actually the blessings that God has given us. You know, my dad used to always say this. He used to say, you can't put a price tag on God's blessings. How many of you know that's true? You can't put a price tag on love and joy and peace in your home. You can't put a price tag on those things. My dad understood that. You know, there are benefits. We have to understand this. There are benefits to being a follower of Christ. And I'm not just talking about going to heaven one day. That's the ultimate benefit, the gift of eternal life. But there are benefits in this life, in the present, right now. And sometimes we can forget this. Sometimes we can look at other people and wonder if there's any benefits to actually being a Christian. You know, sometimes we can look at other people and say, well, you know, here I am. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to honor God. I'm trying to be humble. I'm trying to live a generous life. I'm forgiving people. But I look at these people over here, and they seem to be doing just fine without God. Come on, the psalmist even asked that question. Why do the wicked prosper? You ever get that way? No, you look at other people and you say, well, man, you know, they're doing their own thing and they seem to be doing just fine. Listen this morning, church. Don't be distracted. Don't be deceived. You got to adjust your perspective this morning. You can't put a price tag on God's blessing in your life. Don't be distracted because somebody else has something. They look like they have it going on. No, no, no. You cannot put a price tag on God's presence in your life. You can't put a price tag on God's peace in your home. You can't put a price tag on the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have intangible blessings. You have blessings in your life that you can't put a value on. Love and joy and peace and God's goodness, his protection. How many times have you gone somewhere and you don't even know what God protected you from? The people he kept from crossing your path. And so you got to perceive this. There is a blessing that comes from walking with God. That's the first one. There's a benefit. Here's the second one, okay? We're talking about factors here. Three important factors of gratitude for developing a life of gratitude, having a great life. Number two, gratitude involves a benefactor. Everybody say benefactor. It involves a benefactor. Benefactor means one who does good. One who does good. What do you think of when you hear the word benefactor? It's not a word we use every day, do we? Benefactor. You know what I think about? I think about, wouldn't it be nice to get like a letter in the mail from a long-lost relative who says, you know, I'm writing you because I discovered you through Ancestry.com, and you're one of my only surviving, relatives, and I happen to have a large trust fund, and I want to leave it to somebody, and I'm going to be a benefactor in your life. Come on, how many of you could receive a letter like that? Some of you are like, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. That would be a benefactor in your life. And so here's the deal, okay? A benefactor is one who does good. To be grateful, you got to believe not just that benefits are coming your way, but that they didn't just come randomly or by accident. Like the universe is not just doling out benefits. They came from somebody. They came from a God, okay, from a loving God who is your benefactor. To develop a grateful perspective, you have to begin to see God as your benefactor, as one who has good intentions towards you. He's not just any kind of God. He's a good and merciful God. The scriptures reveal that to us. He's a good God. He could have been any kind of God he wanted to be. He's God, and yet he has revealed himself as a good and gracious and loving and merciful God. See, the writers of the Bible all throughout Scripture, they were convinced that God was good and that he was a benefactor in their lives. Let's look at some scriptures. Look at James chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. He said, do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good gift you have in your life comes from your heavenly Father. He's not all over the map. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. He doesn't shift like the shadows. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So you got to believe that he exists. And not only that he exists, but he's a God who rewards those. He's a benefactor to those who seek him. See, this is an expression, these two scriptures, this is an expression of a God who is a good God. This is an expression of a God who's a benefactor. Okay? A good God exists, and he's the author of good things, of the blessings in our lives, and he rewards those who seek him. And so let me ask you this question this morning. What is your perception of God? When you think about God, how do you tend to think of him? Is he the God up there in heaven, like the God in the cartoons who's waiting to throw a lightning bolt at you every time you screw up? Is he the God who wants you to jump through all these hoops to have a relationship with him? Is he the God who's orchestrating all these, you know, good things but a lot of bad things in your life to see, you know, if you'll be faithful to him? Because sometimes, here's the deal, sometimes we can blame all the bad things that happen in our lives on God and completely overlook all the blessings that he's given to us. So your perception of God is so important. In fact, one of my favorite authors, Mark Batterson, said this. He said, how you think about God will determine who you become. You aren't just a byproduct of nature and nurture. You are a byproduct of your God picture. And that internal picture of God determines how you see everything else. Wow. The picture that you have of God, his character, what he's like, who he is, it'll determine if you're a spiritual person, if you're a person who seeks a relationship with God, if you believe that God is active and working and alive, if you're a Christian, this should be you, right? How you see God will determine how you see your life, how you see the world. This is why our God picture is so important. And so let me give you two extreme views we need to avoid, okay, when it comes to how we see God, okay? On one side, we need to avoid the genie in the bottle view of God. There is this view of God that God is like a genie in the bottle. You rub the lamp and you just ask him for wishes and he just gives you whatever you want. He just blesses you with whatever you want. We got to be careful. In fact, there are some preachers out there who preach a distorted message. It's called the prosperity gospel. And it basically says, like, every Christian should be rich. They should never be sick. There should only be good things happening in your life. If you have faith, you're never going to have problems. And, you know, the problem is there's a whole lot of other scriptures in the Bible that have something to say about that. Even Jesus said, in this world, you will have troubles. He said, you can take that to the bank. But he said, but thankfully, I have overcome. Take heart. I have overcome this world. See, that's balance, right? We serve a God who can overcome anything, but you're going to face some stuff because we live in a broken, fallen world. So we have to be careful because here's the deal, okay? If you get fixated on what God can do for you, you will fall in love with the blessings of God and not the God of the blessings. That's what will happen. So that's one avoid to extreme. Then there's the other extreme to avoid on the other end, and that is like the view of God that he's like an absentee father, okay? This is the complete opposite, polar opposite of the genie in the bottle God. This is the God like, well, I believe he exists. I think he's up there somewhere out there, and like I know he's there, but he's like the absentee father. Like I don't really believe that he can work in my life. Like, you know, I pray these little sissy prayers like, God, if you're up there, like somewhere out there, right? Like maybe you can do something for me. But that's not what we see in God. We see, in the Bible, we see a personal God. We see a God who's able to work in our lives. We see a God who's able to transcend and move and heal and show up and provide. And so you have to avoid those two extremes. And you might say, well, how do we believe in a good God when there's so many bad things happening every day? Because there are, right? And the truth is, for thousands of years, the people of God have been talking about this and writing about this, and that is we believe that we live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world under the curse of sin. But the good news of the Bible is we serve a redemptive God. So a lot of the bad stuff that's happening in the world, you can't blame it on God. There's broken people. About 90-something percent of the world's pain is caused by broken people hurting other people. And so what we see in Scripture is that God is a redemptive God. And if you fast forward to the end of the story, it ends with a new heavens and a new earth and this planet fully restored. So whenever you wonder what God is like, how can God be good in a bad world? That's how, because he's a redemptive God. Do we understand all of it? There's some stuff you're going to have to ask him yourself when you get to heaven one day. But in the meantime, we trust that he's good. He's a benefactor. He's a God who blesses us. He's a good God who's at work even in a fallen world. Is this helping anybody this morning? Is this good for you? All right, here's the third one. Here's the third factor of gratitude. We're laying down the basics here. Gratitude involves a beneficiary. Everybody say beneficiary. I'm impressed with you guys. I really am. It's very early, and you said that word very nicely. All right. A beneficiary is one who receives the good. Okay, so there's a benefit, right? There's benefits and blessings that come to us as gifts. There's a benefactor, a God who is a benefactor. And then there is a beneficiary. Let me give you an illustration, okay? My wife, Amy, is named as a beneficiary of my life insurance policy, okay? That means if something happens to me, she is going to get the proceeds of that life insurance policy, right? And according to MetLife, I am worth a lot more dead than I am alive. She's going to get a lot of money. In fact, if my death looks suspicious, you guys should definitely investigate Amy, okay? Definitely look into it, because the quickest route for her to become a millionaire is for something to happen to me, And she makes sure the policy is paid up every month, meticulously. She's the beneficiary, right? We understand this in financial terms. And in God's economy, you are the beneficiary. You are the recipient of the benefits of God, of a God who has your best interest at heart. You are the beneficiary of the work of Christ, of salvation, of healing, of wholeness. Like everything Jesus came to do, he came because you are now the beneficiaries of his good work. And we have to just get this perspective deep down in our souls. This is so important. Now, we're going to unpack this one some more in another message, but let me just give you one crucial facet to this one, okay? Because you might say, well, this is pretty easy to receive. Of course, I want to be the beneficiary of God's blessings. But here's the question. What kind of beneficiary are you, okay? That's an important question because genuine gratitude, we're talking about gratitude, requires that beneficiaries, that's us, requires that they believe that we're receiving something we didn't earn, merit, or deserve. See, in other words, we receive God's blessings. We receive the benefits as gifts. Say, why is that important? Well, think about this for just a moment. You receive a gift in a different way than you receive your paycheck, don't you? If you were to come up and surprise me with a gift this morning, and I were to say, well, thank you so much. I worked so hard for this. I really deserve this. I am worthy of this gift. You'd be like, I ain't never giving you a gift ever again, Pastor, whatever, right? No, because what would you expect me to do? You'd expect me to say, thank you so much. Like you thought of me, right? You expect appreciation. On the flip side, how do you receive your paycheck? When that paycheck hits direct deposit, do you get out a thank you note and write to your supervisor, I want to thank you this morning for this gracious paycheck that you're like, no, I earned this. I work for this. Like, I expect this. I'm entitled to it. See, because you receive a gift differently than you receive your paycheck. And so my question for you this morning is, what kind of beneficiary are you? Are you a humble one? Are you an entitled one? See, how you perceive determines how you receive the blessing. Right? How you perceive it. If God's given you something that he owes to you, if you've been a good person, you've jumped through the hoops, you grew up in church, you went to catechism, you're here every Sunday, you serve on the dream team, isn't God so impressed with me? I've earned his benefits. Sometimes we can drift and we can begin to think that way. Then you'll get his benefits as a paycheck, as a direct deposit, as something that you're entitled to. You know, there's some people that this is the barrier for them actually coming to Christ. This is the barrier. They can't name it. They would never say it, but it's actually pride. They would say, why do I need that? I'm a good person. I would say that's probably the biggest barrier that most of our friends and family and people that we would love to see come to church are working through. Maybe some of you here today, you're working through that barrier. Say, I'm a good person, you know, why do I need all of this? Listen, that's fine. It's not that you can't be capable of doing some good on your own. But the reality is, if you could save yourself, then why did Jesus Christ, the Son of God, have to come? See, there's a shift in what Christians believe. We believe that there is a good God. We believe that there's a God who rules and reigns over this universe. And Christians have gone through a perception shift. We're people who walk in gratitude. See, you have to have this. This has got to be at the center of your relationship with God, because here's the reality. Your relationship with God is based on your response. It's based on your perception of the gift. And you have to have this as the basis of your relationship with God, because a relationship with God is really all about your response to what God has done in your life. When you begin to understand that God emptied the riches of heaven, he sent his Son in flesh and blood to you and me to come down here to this broken planet, to walk in our shoes, to redeem us, to give his life for us, to give us new life. See, when you begin to understand that, you respond to that. A Christian who's truly seen the light, who's had a change of heart, has had a response to what God has done. And now they realize that everything they have in their life is a gift. And so we give our lives back to God. You know, that's what the scripture says. The Apostle Paul says, he says, therefore, in light of everything that God has done for you, you give your life back as a living sacrifice. For it is by grace we've been saved, right? Through faith. It's the gift of God by grace. There's nothing we've done to deserve it. And so that's the difference between people who feel like they've jumped through the hoops and earned points with God and they feel entitled to what they have. There's a difference in the response. And so are you seeing it this morning? It's a different way of seeing everything that God has done for you. And so we worship God out of gratitude and not out of obligation. For some people, it's going through the motions. It's checking off the boxes because this is what I have to do. When you really get a hold of the revelation of what Jesus Christ has done for you, of what a loving heavenly Father has done for you, there's a shift that begins to happen. And you serve God and you live this life with God and you worship God out of gratitude. It's a response to all that God has done for you. You didn't make the first move and do all of these things and all of a sudden God owes you now. It's a response to what he's done for you. And so this morning as we close, the worship team is coming back and in just a moment we're going to sing a final song. We're going to receive communion together. Let me just remind you this morning, having a great life, something we all want. It's about cultivating gratitude. One of the secrets, one of the ancient secrets that the people of God have known for thousands of years is that gratitude is right smack in the middle of it. And it's not about a destination. It's about who you're becoming. It's about the condition of your heart. It's about the state of your soul. It's about your perception, how you see things. You want to have a great life? You got to become a grateful person. And so back to our question again that we asked at the beginning of this message. Back to our question. Think about your life right now. Have an honest moment with yourself. Are you satisfied right now? Are you satisfied? Are you happy? Or does a great life feel more like a destination? Does it seem like somewhere else? Does it seem like a distant destination? And let me ask you this follow-up question. What would it feel like to truly be content? To truly be satisfied, to truly know happiness at this season of life, no matter what the circumstances are, to be able to say it is well with my soul. Even if my life isn't perfect, even if everything isn't as I would dream it would be, can I truly be happy? Can I truly rest in the blessings of God? What would it look like to really have gratitude coloring your perspective, the way you see everything? See, the illusion is that I'll have a great life when I get to this place, this destination. And sadly, there's so many people chasing happiness in every direction. And the problem is it's elusive, isn't it? Whenever you get there, it's always just a little bit further. It's always just a little bit further. It's always just one purchase away, one relationship away, one more job promotion away. And we never quite seem to find it. Let me ask this. How much time are we going to waste chasing after a great life? How much time are we going to waste chasing after it when the people of God have known for generations that it's a gift we can have? It comes from God. It's gratitude in our hearts. Let me give you this final thought. The degree to which you are grateful is the degree to which you will find happiness and satisfaction in life. See, gratitude is about the condition of your heart. It's about your perspective. And so if we're going to have a grateful perspective, if gratitude is the perception of the good, as we said before, then our prayer is, God, help me to see you as good. Help me to begin to recognize your blessings in my life, all the good things you've given me. God, make me a grateful person. God, give me this kind of perception. Give me this kind of heart. Help me to see the blessings that are all around me. That's what we're going to pray this morning. Would you stand with me as we pray? In just a moment, we're going to receive communion. We're going to sing a final song, but we're going to have a moment of reflection. And can I give you a practical idea just before I pray for you this morning? Okay? I'm going to give you something practical you can do. We can't manufacture gratitude, but we can cooperate with the grace of God. We can work with God. Let me give you something. I will never forget when we lost my father-in-law a few years ago at too young of an age. One of the most beautiful things we found is on his phone, he was taking notes every day, writing down three things he was thankful for. Three things. And you know what? They weren't trite little things. They weren't little things that come and go. They were things like, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my job. That stuck with me. I've never forgotten that. Such a beautiful thing to find that on his phone. Let me encourage you, take this next week. You want to start somewhere? Put three notes in your phone every day between now and next Sunday of something you're thankful for. Get up in the morning and write down three things. And let me just give you another thought. When you pray, before you go to God with all of your long list of prayer requests, all the things you need God to do for you, just start off rattling off a list of things you're grateful for. I'm telling you, I do that every morning. I've learned to do that. I just rattle off a list of things that we take for granted most of the time. God, I thank you that I slept with a roof over my head. God, I thank you I had air conditioning. God, I thank you that I took a warm shower this morning. I do that on a regular basis. I want to encourage you to do that. Include that in your prayer list. Just do that from now to next Sunday. Simple, right? Who can't do that? And just see what God begins to do as you cultivate a perspective of gratitude. Let me pray for you this morning. Let's pray together. Would you just pray with me? Would you make it personal? Lord, we thank you so much today that, God, you are a good and merciful and gracious God. God, we thank you for your blessings. God, today we are asking you to make us grateful people. God, every one of us in this place today, we long to have a great life. We want to be fulfilled. We want to be happy. God, would you help us to see that it's not a destination, but it's about who you're making us into. And so we are inviting you today. We're saying, God, by your Holy Spirit, Would you help us to have this perspective shift? Would you open our eyes to see your goodness, your blessings all around us? God, we can't put a price tag on your son, Jesus. We can't put a price tag on salvation. We can't put a price tag on your presence. We can't put a price tag on the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you today, God. God, we thank you that most of us experienced 100 different little small blessings in our lives this morning compared to so many people in the world today before we even got to church. God, help us, Lord. Give us eyes to see. Condition our hearts to see your blessings. God, I pray for the person right now who's in a really dark season, who's walking through a really difficult time, that God, you would be a strength to them. Father, we're not going to pretend that we don't walk through seasons of brokenness and difficulty, because we do. But God, even in those seasons, God, would you begin to open our eyes to see your hand that's working in our lives, your blessing, your provision, how you are sustaining us. God, you got us this far, and you've got us. You're not going to forget us. You're not going to let go of us. Father, make us grateful people. We pray, do it in our lives. Would you say it? Jesus, do it in my life. Come on, make it personal. Jesus, do it in my life today, we pray in Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.